Welcome to the Wed Pro Podcast, the show for wedding professionals and business owners.
Each month, we bring you top industry experts, business chat, and hints and tips to grow your business.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Roxy.
Welcome to the Wed Pro Podcast. Hi, welcome to season two. Welcome back.
Hello, everybody. It's so lovely to have you here. Welcome to the first Wed Pro podcast of 2021.
I know. And actually, the universe is aligned to give us, it's like our birthday. It's our podcast birthday. Yes. We didn't even know. So happy birthday to us. We can have a little bit of cake to celebrate.
We can. Birthday cake later. So, how amazing. Everything is just aligned nicely. Wed Pro Podcast is 1 year old today.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. If you kind of only just finding us, where have you been? But lovely to have you here with us. Lovely to chat with you. We bring you this podcast to kind of chat all things kind of wedding business education, marketing, all the kind of fancy stuff that's going on in the news. And to just kind of talk to you about our experience with the wedding industry as well,
about life in general. You know, we're all very, very busy people, working, living life, and we just chat all things about how all that comes together.
1000%. So yeah, thanks for joining us. If you haven't found our Facebook group yet, go and hunt it out. It's a pretty awesome place to hang. And since season one, it's grown exponentially, hasn't it? Like, full of amazing wedding professionals kind of around the globe. And my goodness, haven't we needed it? Like, things are looking a lot different. This podcast time round, for a start, we're not together. Normally, we'd be doing this together, sharing good old Mike the Mic, which is what we call our little microphone friend. And now, you know, the world's looking a little bit differently, and social distancing and lockdowns and masks and all of this sort of stuff has become a way of life, hasn't it? So yeah, we thought
the last year has changed for us all.
Yeah, 1000%. And we're kind of here to pick up the mood today and kind of chat about our experience of lockdown, what we've been up to since season one of the podcast finished. And to kind of talk to you about kind of just that, really, our experience of lockdown and what we've been doing, what kind of tools we use to kind of pick ourselves up. And you know,
we know you are going to be able to relate. You know, we've all had to, like I just said, it's been an absolutely whirlwind of a year, a million and one emotions, good things, bad things. We've had to change what we do in our business. We've had our children at home, you know, we've had to keep away from family members. So, but you know, through all of that, you know, here we are, smiling away.
You know, and that's what it's about, isn't it? Resilience, and yeah. That's kind of what we're going to kind of talk to you about a little bit today, aren't we? Kind of resilience, how we've adapted in lockdown, and not adapted so well in lockdown as well some of the time. And just kind of how we keep on going forward. We've had things a little bit differently, haven't we? And we'll be very open. The guys that come to us will be very open about the kind of stuff we've struggled with and not struggled with so much. But we have this big community of wedding professionals, and the world went nuts, as we know. And all of a sudden, from you, we came from being kind of, you know, there to help you with your marketing, there to help you with your, you know, the direction that you were taking your wedding business in, and there to kind of grow your businesses into awesome wedding businesses. And all of a sudden, we found ourselves in this kind of funny position of being, you know, everybody's counsellor, didn't we, Roxy?
Yeah, that was it. We went from kind of business, kind of almost coaches helping in that way, to almost like, now we need to nurture the mindset and support people in a different way.
And you know, not going to lie, some of the time I found that exceptionally difficult. You know, on days especially when, you know, personal stuff has gone on in both of our lives, and, you know, many of you actually won't know, but I had a very sudden death in my family, and it has been quite difficult some of the time to then, you know, put your face on, show up in your business, and pick up the mood for so many other people on days where you really just want to stay in bed yourself, and you know, you're making sense of the world yourself. So and luckily though, we have got amazing people inside of our group, haven't we, and amazing people inside of our networks that have been there not only just for us but for each other, and that has helped, and that is something that, you know, positive that has come out of this whole, you know, lockdown experience, is that, you know, people, you know, even as soon as last night I noticed, and we're now back in kind of lockdown three for those UK listeners that we've got, we're back in lockdown number three, hopefully the final ever lockdown everness. People still asking questions last night about some things that they've not got to grips with in their business, or some things that they've not got to grips with money-wise, and straight away other people offering the answer and offering some help and support.
What I do think actually is, if we think back to when we started Twizzing and the community, obviously we didn't know what was going to happen, but I do actually think that it's been a mega vital place for wedding industry professionals to come to and to be, and it kind of actually worries me, like thinking, gosh, what if Twizzing wasn't here, what would people do then? Because our community has been like a place that, you know, wedding professionals are coming every single day, gaining support, gaining help throughout all of this, and that actually is the foundations of what it is we're all about, right? So
yeah, 1000%. I don't know, you know, moments that I've had, and don't get me wrong, we've had some very tough messages from some people, haven't we, Roxy? But as you guys will have had in your businesses, and some hurdles to overcome, but we have had messages and emails and lovely kind words just drop into my inbox, or people just pick us up at the right moment. We haven't even had to say anything, and these people are like internet besties, that's what I'm going to call them. They're not in my personal life whatsoever. They're industry colleagues that we've kind of only met through our networks that we've built up. They have just pinged me a message, maybe not even knowing what's gone on in my life.
Yeah.
Just to say, oh girls, like, you're doing an amazing job, or really loved this blog that you wrote, or really resonated with this piece of content that you put out there, or any of that. And that's, you know, picked us up in the most crappiest of moments.
Oh, like, definitely. You know, obviously, like you say, when we receive those messages, like, we might not have been having a very good day ourselves, and just to see that, it makes it, it just makes it worth getting out of bed some days, doesn't it?
And then I think this is right, isn't it? And this is something that we've always wanted to have a conversation about. And those of you that listen to us in the first series of our podcast, or have been inside of our group and looked at like what we built Twizzing on, is that we've always been very open about, you know, mental health and business, and talking about the stress and anxiety and the pressure that we put ourselves on as business owners. And we don't always have to put our corporate heads on there and think, oh, you know, stress and pressure only goes with the corporate world. It actually goes, you know, you're responsible for every single decision in your business. You're responsible for the money coming into your household. And, you know, big business, small business, been in business 10 years, been in business 2 months, you know, this rubbishy thing happened in the world. And everybody, I think, has had some experience of some sort of awareness of their mental health over the last kind of year, and this is a conversation that we've been involved in now for about 4 years, yeah, haven't we? Encouraging a more open conversation relating to, yeah, mental health, and especially I think as women, I think it's quite important as well to talk about that. I don't know about you, Roxy, but for me, I know that I put a lot of pressure on myself in terms of, you know, splitting myself into 100 different people, being a really good mum, being you know, amazing at my job, plus being a great partner, and, you know, gosh, I am the toughest critic of myself. And, you know, that can be a little bit detrimental some of the time when we're not having those great days.
So I think, you know, even being a good friend, just everything, it can all get too much. Like, and I'll be the first to say, like, I've had times kind of the end of last year where things kind of did get too much. But I'm trying to think back to, you know, when, like, this all started, I naively probably thought, well, I remember we sat and had a conversation, right, what are we going to do in the business? I was like, oh, this will be done in 3-4 months. Can you remember?
Yeah, it has been. It's been a really long time. And, you know, exactly what you were saying about being a good friend as well. It is that we are expected to give a lot of ourselves to other people some of the time, aren't we, in terms of, you know, mm-hmm. supporting our family or, you know, being a good friend to other people. And putting ourselves first seems to be something that we're not brilliant at doing.
I totally agree. Like, for me, on the scale, on the Roxy scale of what's important or who comes first, I'm definitely, like, way down below everybody else, when actually really I've kind of learned it is, like, vital to put yourself at the top of that list, even if it feels unnatural to do that.
And it's okay to kind of say no some of the time, isn't it? And this is something I've really struggled with. I think people will kind of understand. I know a lot of people have had some sudden grief over the last year, and I'm definitely not alone in terms of grieving and having a sudden death in 2020, for sure. But I think when there is a sudden death, there is that part of yourself that, you know, your family want a lot of support, and your family need a lot of time from you as well. And it's really difficult to put your own emotions in scale or kind of find the time to grieve for yourself some of the time when you're there supporting other people. And, you know, I've got to the age of 33 in my life and never had that much experience of grief, to be honest, but it still kind of shocks me. I'm 6 months on now. It was very unexpected. It was my brother when he was only 23. But, you know, I can just be in the shower or I can just be watching some TV and it's just like, bam, and it's straight there again. And that's kind of hard. And, you know, you're still there. You might be cooking the dinner and you've got the kids around. And I've had to learn, okay, it's all right for me to just go away, have a bit of a cry and come back or wipe a little tear. There is this thing, isn't there, about hiding your grief. And,
yeah,
it's actually out
it's
there.
It's funny. I was only talking about this to my sister this morning because she's going through something like somebody's suddenly passed away who was young, they are very, very close to. And I was saying to her, look, you might be supporting everybody else, but who is supporting you? I said, it's almost like it's like a scale of who's supporting who. I was like, you need to make sure that whilst you're looking after them, like, that if you need looking after, you come to me and you say, like, can you come and help me do this? Because sometimes people are very, very good at putting... I'm very, very good at putting the brave face on of Happy Roxy. Everybody knows me as Happy Roxy, when actually, like, I've had struggles and struggled with my thoughts and my feelings, and this is exactly the same for my sister, and a lot of people are very good at putting this, like, hi, everybody, yes, I'm fine. And actually, if you don't talk about things, what I've learned is it all comes crumbling down.
1,000%. And exactly what you were saying in terms of, you know, when you feel like you give to everybody, and we know this more than anybody, you know, your body and your mind has a way of going stop when you don't listen to it. Isn't that right? Yeah. And, you know, we've had first-hand experience of this, both individually, but years before COVID happened as well, in terms of, you know, working too hard, head down, feeling a lot of stress, feeling a lot of pressure in our jobs, and
muscle pressure, it's horrible.
1,000%. And yeah, I find some of the time, and And I do get a little bit of guilt for it, like self-care guilt. But some of the times I just put myself in bed. Honestly, put myself in bed and I, you know, put my phone away and I sit.
Whack
the... Yeah, sometimes some rubbish TV and just kind of process some things. Because exactly what you were saying with your sister, and I definitely went through this as well. We had this, like... I'm the oldest sibling, so when my brother passed, he was the youngest, and I kind of put my, like, coping head on and big sister head on, and even for my parents, and probably wasn't dealing with the grief at the time it was happening. And, you know, luckily for me, you know, work was quiet and I was able to take some time off and work through my grief. But especially at the time, 1000%, it was more a case of putting everybody else before, you know, getting involved in work, getting involved with all everybody else's kind of emotions and being on the end of the phone for everybody else. And yeah, it really was important to kind of take a minute, treat myself as I would treat other people, as I would treat a friend, and just say, you know, give myself some self-compassion and say, oh, you know, it's actually okay. This is a big thing. This is something big that you're dealing with right now. I wanted to talk about overwhelm. You get overwhelmed quite a lot, don't you?
Yeah. So I think probably at the beginning when all this started, overwhelm, well, even like before then, I probably always had overwhelm, you know, working, mom, wife, I've got like a big family, 3 children, one of them's got like additional needs. So I've always dealt with overwhelm, and it's never like the feeling of a lot to do, a lot of things, and it's never been a problem, ever, ever. I've just got like done this, bang, done. But now, like, oh my God, if I've got more than 3 things to do, I feel like I can't cope, like, oh my gosh, my head's gonna explode, which I've learned is okay to feel. So if you do feel like that, firstly, like, it's a very normal thing to feel right now with everything that's going on. And what really helps me is writing lists. But yeah, overwhelm right now. Oh my life.
Well, it helps me with overwhelm, and it's something that I've said to you quite a few times. We run a global business, don't we? So some of the time things do feel a bit more urgent to us, because when we're asleep, other parts of our business are awake. So yeah. Some of the time, to me, in my mind, it's been a bit difficult to prioritize, you know, rest, when I think, oh, okay, so this isn't urgent. However, it could be urgent to that person over there. But actually thinking nothing is urgent right now, you know, you can give yourself a second's pause, or even to just think, does this need to be dealt with right now, or could it be dealt with in the morning? And I know, you know, our emails are busy places, and those people listening probably have had rearranging of clients or multiple rearranging of clients. Yeah. And we haven't had a lot of support as an industry. We haven't had a lot of guidance. We did get some good news yesterday on the insurance front, but we've kind of been the forgotten industry that's kind of been left to just go, You know, guys, deal with it. And there hasn't been a roadmap for living through a lockdown. There hasn't been a roadmap for living through a pandemic. And I think it is okay for us to say, you know, we need to change the way that we're doing things a little bit, and to pause and think, be kind to ourselves before we're totally just giving to our clients and totally just giving to our, you know, other people in our family as well, to others. Let's categorize everything as others.
Yeah, so that piece of advice you gave me, that piece of advice, nothing is urgent right now. And I, honest to God, thank you so much for giving me that advice, because that is something that I literally probably, I say that every day to myself now. Roxy, remember what Katie said? Nothing is urgent right now. Like, yes, okay, it is a little bit urgent that we do get that sorted, but not right now. Like, it's like, almost my brain goes, go. And it's like, hold on a minute, just... nothing's gonna happen if that doesn't get done right now. And this is something that I do, I honestly say it for everything. Like, when I start feeling that this way, I take that advice from you, so I thank you for that advice.
Overwhelm is Yeah, it is totally a thing. And I think, I don't know, many people will be able to relate when they listen, but you know, when you're doing the dishes and you're not actually just doing the dishes, you're also cooking the dinner. And while you're doing that, you're posting on Instagram and you might as well just send that email. It's okay to live like that some of the time, isn't it? But quite quickly that becomes a habit, and quite quickly that becomes the way that you live all of the time. And then it becomes a process of sort of training your brain to stop and to actually unthink a little bit.
What I've kind of, is on that point of, you know, doing this and that at the same time, is that I actually learned that it was my family that I was missing out on, because I was never present in that moment properly.
Yeah.
And that's something I really learned to realise that, okay, if I've got my phone in my hand and my little girl's gone, oh, mummy, can you play with me? And I'd sit there and I'd play with her, but half of my mind would be somewhere else, thinking about something else to do with work or something else that I thought was urgent. When it's been really hard for me to train my brain to be present in that moment. But I think I'm getting there with that. 100%. It's actually really nice to be able to sit and play or do whatever I want to do without thinking about, like,
oh, this needs to be done, or that needs to be done, or I've got some housework in there. And you know, many people will have worked from home anyway, so maybe they'll have had some better skills to deal with the sort of stuff. But for me, it's not really taking a lunch break anymore. It's taking a lunch break, but whilst I'm taking a lunch break, I'm planning the next lot of lessons that the kids need to be done, or I'm just putting the washing out, or anything like that. And, you know, we do get... It is a lot to get through in the day, isn't it? Mm. For those of you that don't know as well, I moved house in lockdown as well. Like, it was crazy, crazy, crazy.
I know, I remember us having a chat and it being like, it's lockdown, like, things are not going, like, things are taking longer than they should. And it was, like, we were packed at one house, like, living out of boxes, waiting for it to go through. And I was like, oh my God. That's a lot to go through.
It was like a lot of stress. I think as business people and as self-employed people, though, we often find that we're kind of very driven. We do tend to overwork ourselves, don't we? Because, you know, having boundaries. I mean, some of the time I stayed up till 2 a.m. in the morning, and I don't really actually know what I was doing. Now, when I look back and think, you know. Number one, did those emails need sending right at that second? No, they didn't. And number two, doesn't, you know, that tiredness is going to catch up on me and make me unproductive at some point down the line. But also as well, we're insanely self-critical, I think, as, you know, business people in general.
Yeah, I think we totally are. I think that emails are a big cause of, like, you know, that pressure, that overwhelm. And my biggest tip would be, you know, like, whack an auto reply on there, or like, if you do feel like you need to type it out, that's fine, but get yourself in the habit of, you know, sending it. Set yourself, like, work email hours. Don't I am a bugger for checking emails all the time. Check. So set yourself, like, okay, I'm going to check them at this time of the day and then this time of the day. And then anything else that comes after that, that can wait till tomorrow, because nothing is that urgent. And yes, it might be an inquiry and that's exciting, but it's okay to do it. But like with the other things, it sets bad habits.
100%. And it also sets a precedent for your client. If you start to reply to emails at 10 at night, where do you draw the line for when you don't want to reply to emails at 10 at night? So you get into the habit of replying back to an email, and it's easily done, especially when it's in Messenger or in your DMs on Instagram. And you start to get into the habit of replying to that person at 10 at night, 11:30, or perhaps on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday evening. When that couple want your attention down the line and they've booked you, you've already set that precedent that you are going to be that supplier that is going to be on call 24/7. Now, if you do want to be that supplier that is on call 24/7, fine, but make sure you're being paid for it. And quite often what you'll find is that suppliers aren't billing for their email hours. So, you know, it's exactly what you said there. I think it's been hard as well, like this shifting online thing that people have had to do. you know, lots and lots of people are at home now, and it is great for you to be up in your online visibility and up in your online presence and up in what you're doing across your social media platforms. We'll be totally honest, when we've had bad mental health days or days where we felt overwhelmed or days where we just think, do you know what, I'm going to spend some time with the family today and don't want to hear about work, don't want to think about work, so like social media has been a bit of a difficult thing to be on,
hasn't it,
especially, you know, the mood can be quite low some of the time. So if you're not feeling that resilient yourself, or you're feeling a little bit more open to other people's negative thoughts or other people's thoughts, social media has been difficult to be on some of the time.
It's been really bad for me, and it's been really hard for me again to kind of train myself to not pick my phone up, put it, like you was like, Roxy, get your phone on a shelf. So literally I have a little place where I shove my phone and I don't look at it. But I've got an Apple Watch, which is a bit of a nightmare because it doesn't ping up on your phone, it pings up on your wrist. So you're like, oh God. But what I've done is you can set, it's like a new thing on the iPhone update. It's almost like a do not disturb, that you can set the times that your phone's active and not active. And that's been really, really helpful for me. Like from 8 p.m. at night till 8 p.m. in the morning, I don't get any notifications pinging up, like they're there, but if I want to look at them, that's fine. But if I don't, then that's absolutely fine, they're not there. But yeah, train yourself to, nothing's urgent, like we've said, put your phone out of the way, because it's really, really bad for you.
It's hard, isn't it? Like, you know, we're expected to be on social media, we obviously need to interact with our customers. This is where we're going to say, schedule your posts and make social media work for you. You know, those of you that know us know that we coach in social media, know that social media is our thing. But we always say all pieces of marketing that you do should work for your business. You shouldn't be working for social media. Social media should work for you. So we schedule our posts, don't we? Hop into work, really strict with what we're doing on social media. So maybe set yourself a timer, that would be good. So if you're hopping on Instagram to go and network with 5 new couples, set yourself 15-minute timer when that goes off, because very quickly you can get into a like habit of just losing yourself in that newsfeed, and then all of a sudden being, you know, 10 steps away from what you were meant to be doing and on some random website reading about some random thing, which was nothing that you weren't meant to be doing. And it's so easily done, isn't it? But no,
isn't it?
I was gonna say, not only that as well, it's people live their life on social media, don't they? Me not so much. I'm quite good with the privacy on social media, just because I think what we do and how much we know about social media. But you know, that's quite difficult if you're going into social media. That's how we socialize now. We're not socializing in person, obviously, but we're getting our social interactions through our phones, and we're picking up the mood of other people through our phone devices, aren't we? And people are very open with their emotions on social media. So, you know, if they're having a bad day, it's on social media. If they're, you know, struggling with their business, or, you know, struggling in their personal life or feeling a bit low, it normally goes on social media. And I'm, you know, have this part of my brain where I feel like some of the time I have to help everybody. Like, that's me. That's the thing that I live with all the time. So, you know, if I see something on there, whereas someone's having a low moment or whatever it may be, I'm the first person that's emailing them at 2 a.m, like, oh, or pinging them a message and saying, oh, you know, you're right, you need a chat. And you know, that is part of being a good friend. But that's difficult in terms of you've got to fill your own cup up sometimes, and you have to have the energy there to be able to give that energy to other people and that positivity to other people. You need to be making sure that you're looking after yourself before constantly. So exactly what you were saying in terms of popping the phone away, I would get and this was quite paired to my grief, I think, notification anxiety. And obviously, you know, I heard about what happened to my brother on my phone, and I missed a call from my parents, and then, you know, had that horrible phone call. And then I would get like massive anxiety about my phone going off, or I'm gonna miss.
That's a form of kind of like PTSD, where like something, you know, like your brain relates that to that feeling that you had when you got that call. It kind of pulls it back to that.
Yeah, and I've got this thing where like my phone, I would have to make sure that my phone was like charged all of the time, and that it was allowed all of the time, so that in case anybody needed me, whatever time of the night, I was kind of living my life on call a little bit. But that can be the same for work as well, can't it?
Yeah.
Like, especially if you're going through a bit of a rubbishy time in your business, where you know money might be tight, or your bookings might be low, or inquiries might be low. It's that feeling of, oh god, like I need to be the first supplier. First supplier to reply to that couple, otherwise they're not going to book with me.
Yeah, which is okay. Like we've said, like that's fantastic. You know, obviously, if bookings have been a little bit slow and someone's inquiring, like fantastic. But there are a lot of things you can do to make it look like you're present when you're not actually present. Like Facebook Messenger has like the auto replies on that you can put on there. You know, thank you very much for your inquiry. Very excited about your wedding. Put your tone of voice on there, and then you can put your working hours, because then it's like, oh, okay, like I know now that this business only works these hours. It's setting that kind of precedent for you and your clients, isn't it? I think
now as well, people are more understanding of this. All of a sudden, everybody is now more or less working from home or taking some of their hours from home, and they wouldn't like, you know, to their boss to say to them, oh, by the way, if you've got an email at 11 p.m. at night, I expect you to reply to it. They wouldn't work like that. So I think exactly what you were saying, out of hours, pop on an autoresponder that gives the hours, but also direct them to other places. So keep them interested in you. Direct them over to your portfolio. Direct them to a blog that you might have written, or your frequently asked questions. Or direct them over to your opt-in, so that at least you've then got their data, so that you've got that relationship inside of your emails as well.
Okay, so I was just going to say, like, I've got the best, biggest kind of top tip on how, you know, something that's really, really helping me actually get through these times when, and I think everyone's going to nod their head when I say this, I feel like there's nothing to bloody look forward to. I feel like there's no, like, normally I've got plans going on here, I'm going over there, like I'm going out for a meal, going on a holiday, whatever it might be. Start making some plans, some goals for the future, whether it's in your business, whether it's in your personal life. And I started doing this, and this was a little idea that Katie literally was like, Bond, because my surname is Bond, we call each other Bond and Liv. Bond, we're going on a holiday when this is done. And I was like, yes. So since you said that, I'm like, right, what else can I do? Because that gave me, I'm not going to lie, the nicest feeling of like, oh,
sun cream. Even if you're just going to buy some sun cream, that is going to make it real to you. Like, do you have a passport?
Go and buy yourself a new, like, swimsuit for the holiday that you're definitely going to go on this year. Or, you know, it doesn't have to be anything that costs a lot of money, but you can sit and make a mood board, or like make some like a goal setting thing you can put on your wall that, right, this is my inspirations, this is my aspirations, I want to go out for a meal here, I want to do this. Because if we've got nothing to look forward to, nothing's going to inspire us to motor on and take little tiny steps forward, and that is what we need to be doing. We need to be looking to the future now.
It is, and you know, it just gets tiresome, it just gets a little bit repetitive. I don't know about anybody else, but I kind of feel like, actually, when I think back to pre-lockdown, yes, okay, the children are at home, which is a little bit different, but what would I actually do in a normal day? I probably wouldn't get out and go for a walk in a normal day, because I would be working. I'd go for a little walk when I took the kids to school and brought them home. But I kind of feel like, just because the option has been taken away from me, it makes me want to, like, do it more, or... you know, Monday to Friday, it's not like I eat out all week anyway.
That's like the rebel inside.
Yeah, I can't do it then. But whether it is a networking event that you're going to attend, or whether you're going to, you know, go and get drunk when all of this is over, dance on some tables.
I can't wait. Let me tell you my little plans. Okay, so we're going on a holiday. I'm going to have something with the family. I'm going to organise called Summermas. So that's like Christmas in the summer. We're going to go to a big park. We're going to do like a... Yeah, it's called Summermas.
Summermas. Okay, I like that idea. So I want like birthday cella. So you know like Coachella with like Beyonce?
Yes.
Everybody has had a lockdown birthday. So I feel like tents, glitter, face paints, feels.
Yes. I'm there. And I was just going to say, my birthday's just gone only a couple of days ago. And it was just a lockdown birthday. And everyone, so many people messaged like, I can't wait to have cocktails with you, Roxy. So I'm literally going all out. I'm literally going to be so drunk. Call me.
About 18 birthdays. yeah, massive field. I don't know, tents. Like birthday cella, I don't know, like
let's call it like Catonbury. It's not Glastonbury, it's Catonbury.
I don't have a special birthday. I just feel like that's what people are craving, aren't they? Like people,
like things to look forward to. And guys, if you've got any ideas or you've got things that you're planning, let us know in the comments, because we'd love to hear like, give me some more inspiration. I want to see how much I can get planned out. And then
I'm loving the sound of Summermas. Are you gonna decorate Christmas trees?
I think so. I think we should. Yeah, like Christmas gifts, Christmas trees. You wait, guys. You're gonna have to check out our Insta stories in the summer or whenever. Like whenever we're allowed to do this.
It's gonna be random.
I'm getting it done.
We're gonna get it done. Well, yeah, I like that Catonbury, but we won't call it Catonbury because there'll be. Many people there, many people's birthdays. You're all invited, guys. Everyone can come.
Oh yes.
Yeah, thanks for listening. We've been quite open on this one, haven't we? If you've got kind of any ideas as to how, you know, you've navigated through this crazy time that we've been in, and how you've, you know, rode out those moments where you've the self-doubt has creeped in, or you know, here's my final tip: give that self-doubt voice a name, because it's good for you to tell her to do one when that person's got a name. So I won't give you
don't say a name
just in case anyone's got that name. I'm not gonna say the name, but give it a name, because that's really good. We did a post on this about imposter syndrome over on our Instagram. So check out our Instagram if you're not already following us on Insta. You can
links
check that out.
So you can get hold of all the things that you need to. And also, we want you to go and sign up to our website, where we're going to be sending out so many amazing web biz tips. That's where you're going to find all of our blogs. When a new blog's published, we're going to be sending it directly into your inbox. And we did, you wrote an amazing blog, didn't you, recently on, was it pricing?
Yeah, about pricing for your wedding business. This is something that people struggle with. There isn't really like a secret formula out there that when people are pricing their services for their wedding business. So yeah, that was one of our blogs, but that's all totally free. Let's wrap it up. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be bringing you lots of like amazing wedding business guests over the next few episodes. Don't forget to subscribe. If you've liked what you've listened to today, leave us a review. Nothing short of 5 stars, please, because
thank you, please. Yeah, like we were saying, those reviews, you might think just like a few words, send, and then forget about it, but they mean so much to us. They really, really do. So
I screenshot them and keep them in my phone. That's another
thing.
Yeah,
I do.
You know, for the times when you're feeling a bit rubbish and you think, oh God, like, nobody likes me, nobody likes what I do, I've not had them forever. I go and read those, like, past reviews that we've had, and, you know, people think nothing of it, don't they? But, you know.
That's it. They mean so much. And if you love this kind of chat that we had, you know, we're very open, like always, but go and check out our first ever podcast. It's kind of our story, of how, you know, how we got into what we do, and we are, it's very, very relatable, and we had a lot of amazing feedback from that. So go and check that one out as well. It's episode 0. That one is first ever one.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening, guys. And we will see you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye. Everybody knows me as Happy Roxy, when actually, like, I've had struggles and struggled with my thoughts and my feelings.